Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Settle back now, content, comfortable, well-fed, and ready for some fine entertainment. Is everybody happy? Then let's go. It's showtime.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
Most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you the fans a voice. Welcome. Happy Tuesday. We are here to bring you the Georgia Tech pregame. Preview, rather. Whatever. The other thing is that a new episode of Ty Thoughts was released this afternoon, so you can check that out. You can still check out the Pitt post-game is also available if you want to endure that. Some good fan feedback in there. So, anyways, all of that great stuff. We do have some clarification on Dino holding the timeouts. We'll go over a little bit of that audio from a press conference earlier in the week. So we'll hit that up. We will do the preview, and then we will do the BetOnline picks for this week. And we'll pick a game. Oh boy. We'll pick a game of the week. Do we know how we did? Do we know how you did last week? Did we even check it?
I don't think we did.
I don't think I did. I know I didn't.
Should have.
We should keep track of it. We're going to do it.
Probably.
Saying. So,
anyways. I mean, we could always go back and, you know, we could figure it out.
Yes. Rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to everybody who has already done so. I got a little package. Shout out to David for his review, his glowing review of us and this show. We really appreciate that. And I've got his stuff. I've got your stuff, David. I got your stuff. It hasn't hit a mailbox yet, but I've got your stuff. So, Syracuse will try out their new turf under a new roof on noon this Saturday, another noon kickoff. Local TV will not be airing the game, which is insane to me that you cannot have fans there and local TV will not be airing the game. It is just ridiculous. I'm sorry, oh, yeah. That
and
is
it's not
so
like we have a
stupid.
Full slate of Saturday football, too. You know, I mean, I know there's going to be a lot more games. I think SEC's starting and stuff, but and we got a bunch of conferences that are playing, so there's no reason why.
That is just idiotic. And I didn't even look. I don't know if someone gave a reason. I don't really care. And I hate to sound so, you know, jaded.
Yeah.
But I'm jaded. I am. So it's going to be on ACC Network Extra if you want to watch that. But, you know, you got this big, huge, empty stadium. Just like as an example, watch the Raiders game last night, and you've got this big, beautiful new stadium there, and you've got all the casinos and bars are open in Vegas, but there's not a fan allowed in the new stadium, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. It's like, okay. If it holds 50,000, why not have 15? Why not have 10,000? It makes no sense. You can touch all the dirty ass machines in a casino, but you can't go to a brand new football stadium and watch some football. Okay. Mm. Makes total sense. Again, everything comes down to the dollar bill, y'all. Dollar bill, y'all. As the great prophet Method Man once said. All right. So with that said, let's do this. Let's get into some of this here. And, first, obviously we're going to go over the reads, and the reads are as follows. Bet Online. We thank Bet Online for being the title sponsor to the show, Ty Thoughts and Armchair Media, coming on board and taking on that, more power to them. I would like some new reads, though. Last time I asked for new reads, I got them. But hey, look, you might not be able to get to a game this year, college or otherwise. You should be able to. Will you be able to? I don't know. I have high hopes. Fingers crossed. But if you can't get to a game, you can still get in on all of the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get involved on everything imaginable this season, from game spread and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online, and you can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Will be hitting up BetOnline one more time this episode for the BetOnline ACC Picks of the Week. So, as Joe just forced into it, and like a champion, he just takes it on the chin. Other things he takes on the chin. The Lawnmower 3.0. You know, he uses it everywhere. It's okay. It's okay. It's washable. This thing's waterproof, all right? The Lawnmower 3.0 is a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image. The ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce nicks and tugs on the boys down low. The Lawnmower 3.0 is also waterproof and comes with an LED light so you can manscape in the shower or in the dark, or in the dark in the shower also. They just released the Shears 2.0 Nail Kit, which is a perfect add-on for the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes as follows: tip tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file for you, your lady, or maybe just you. Whatever. You're into the nail file thing? More power to you, man. That shows you care, all right? Shows you care. The Shears 2.0 nail kit allows you to pluck your eyebrows too. Trim your nails any style. Go to the website now. You can check out the Crop Reserver. I've talked plenty of good things about the cologne. It's magical. The guys at work won't be able to keep their hands off you. So go there, check that out. The Crop Reserver is anti-chafing deodorant for below the belt. All right. Go to manscaped.com and our listeners will get 20% off and free shipping if you use the promo code armchair at manscaped.com. That's promo code armchair. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. What's the promo code, Joe? What's the promo code?
No idea.
It's armchair. Thank you, Manscaped. Thank you, BetOnline. Okay, so.
It was a bad guess, I guess.
All right, let's get some clarification, Joe, on the usage or lack thereof of the timeout situation at the end of the pit game. It was a question asked by Brent X, and it was controversial. We talked about it a little bit. We said it was a bad look, but let's hear coach's explanation for it.
I was going to use timeouts after the third down stop. Okay, I had two choices: either use them after every single play, which a lot of people believe I should have, or to save timeouts for what we had to accomplish. What we had to accomplish was a touchdown, a two-point conversion, an onside kick, and then a long field goal. And long field goals on that side of the field are not easy to come by. You really got to penetrate deep. I want to say we have to go inside 30, 40, 47. We've got to be somewhere. The ball's got to be somewhere on the 30-yard line on that side to really, maybe 31, 32, to get a really good shot at a field goal where the wind swirls and stuff down there. And a lot of people don't know that, but when you've been a coach at Pitt and you've watched enough Pittsburgh Steeler games, you know where all the action is and you know where you want that ball to be kicked at. So that was the situations, and with those three situations, I thought we needed some field goals with our offense to be able to, I mean field goals, some timeouts with our offense to be able to do that. So I was going to let the time eat on the first two plays, call timeout after the third down stop so they couldn't run the time on the punt team, get the punt, and then have two timeouts for the offense to do something that's very difficult to do.
Well, since you put it like that, I mean, it does add some clarification. Right, Joe? As we said, you know, at the very least, it was a bad look. We didn't know the intentions. It really just came off really bad. It does give clarification, but I will say I've played enough Madden to know you don't ever waste your timeouts in that situation at the end of a game. To not use one of them is a sin It is a sin. You have to at least try something at some point. If you're waiting for third down, you're waiting for third down. But once you realize third
usually
down.
Usually we don't have three in that situation anyway. Usually we already used one, okay, right? Anyway, true. But
well, we
I think it definitely gives clarification, because what happens there is usually, you know, you watch it in the NFL and stuff like that, and you want to use the timeouts, and then you get the offense the ball, right? Well, in this situation, I can understand. Babers understands that we need, first off, we need to get a three and out. If they get a first down, game's over anyway, even if we use the timeouts, right?
Right.
So you look at it, the defense has to get a stop. And in the way that our offense and our defense has been playing, what side of the ball do you want to save the timeouts for?
The offense, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so that was his thinking.
His
thinking was, right. So, again,
because DeVito's really, going to get sacked, the clock's going to run, we're going to lose 10 yards, and then we're going to have to start all over again.
The sack, and it's done.
Yeah.
You know, you have a guy 40 yards
downfield. I'm kidding.
You
got to
have the receiver. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's easy to kind of, oh, God, you use the timeouts. But it was one of those things where if you're going to give one side the timeouts, it's going to be the offense, and we needed a stop. If they got a first down, it was over anyway.
Well,
so,
true, but, you know, your defense
so
could use a break, too.
Once they got the first down, he was kind of like, well,
let's see what happens.
Pretty much that.
Right. Well, I understand. I get it.
If they got a first down, we weren't going to be able to get two scores.
I understand. It is definitely a whole lot clearer. Still don't necessarily totally agree with not using any timeouts. That's okay though. Whatever. He's the coach. I'm not a coach. So, right? I mean, seriously, it is what it is. And I took no pleasure in chastising that whole sequence either. Like,
I understand it looks bad, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah. So, anyway, just wanted to throw that out there since we did talk about it quite a bit in the post game of Pitt. So, some other news that has come out. You can go read the article from Syracuse.com. It is a locked article, but you can hit it up if you go to Mike McAllister's Twitter account. He has it posted. The Chris Blake fiasco. Looks like we didn't get that waiver because of there's some things going on having to do with his departure from Florida. Looks like he got injured. The medical staff was incompetent to some level of taking care of him. And the article's long, right? He played through a lot of injury, but he wasn't treated correctly medically through that.
Yeah.
Through
and heads up, Syracuse.com. I mean, I know that you want the subscriptions, but Chris Carlson, that was a great, great story.
Heads off to Chris.
And it's kind of long, but
interviewed
it's got a lot of
Chris's
information
dad.
In there. Interviewed Chris's dad. So again, a lot of this stuff, I'm not going to call the guy a liar, but obviously, you know, there's lawyers involved.
Right.
And I mean, if you go there, you read it. Obviously, I think after reading that, it's not the last we're going to hear about that.
No, this is going to be a thing in there. And we'll talk more as it develops, I guess, but they might reapply.
Yeah, well, I guess right now the whole thing is again, when you read it, it's from the perspective of the parent, and his dad makes it very clear that he does not want to speak for his son and that they're not going to go over his head if it's something that he doesn't want to do, because something tells me he just wants to play football, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's going to be going after the situation of, you know, trying to make a school look bad or this, that, or the other, but I think a lot of it is from the parents and morally looking at it like, hey, like this happened to our kid and our kid might be, you know, a kid that doesn't want to use it and doesn't want to like go after a school or this or that. But it looks bad overall, and the NCAA shouldn't be covering some stuff like this up. If this is true and the team in Florida, that's what happened medically. I mean, that's not a very good look at all. Some people can probably lose their jobs, and realistically, like I said, I want to wait for more information to come out and wait to see what happens. And I don't want to, you know, just jump on it like it's all true. But I also don't want to call the father a liar. So it all is really going to depend on what Chris wants to do. But again, the NCAA can't cover up for malpractice. If you're trying to protect the kids, then this is stuff that needs to be called out.
Yeah. You know, you got to wonder, though, how many kids aren't, well, this is complete speculation, like Joe said, wait for all that. And I'm not talking about any school in particular, but the way that some of the kids might be treated medically sometimes playing through some things, maybe to an extent, is an issue in college football.
Well, and
in college
again,
sports.
And there's also a situation where I don't know if you're a school, why you would want to have a certain investigation. I mean, every time you push a kid to possibly do something that he doesn't want to do, in which this comes down to, you know, how obligatory was Chris when it came down to it, right? Was it one of those things where he was just playing it off too, like, oh, I just want to play, I don't want to lose my starting spot?
Well, right.
I mean, how much did he push towards that stuff? So there's a lot that's involved, but, you know, in one instance, you might look at it and say, hey, like, why would a school mess with a kid's transfer, especially if they really didn't take care of him, right? They did have something to worry about. Why wouldn't you just let him go on his way so that, you know, something doesn't happen to you? So that's either – there's either some, you know, some facts that aren't all there in the story, or there's just a huge, huge ego in the fact that Florida just feels safe with the NCAA and
it's possible
that nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, it's possible.
Or that the kid's not going to go and snitch, right?
Right. Well, we'll see as that unfolds and we know more. Obviously, you can check it out yourself, but we'll be talking about it as that progresses. So, on to Georgia Tech, Joe. Syracuse, I like to look up a little history on the series between Syracuse and whatever team they're playing, whether it be football or basketball, because I always find it interesting. There's always some good nuggets in there. But
yeah.
There's nothing. Syracuse is 0-3 all time against Georgia Tech. They've only played three times in school history, which I thought, man, was just crazy as I looked it up. Syracuse, they've played the Yellow Jackets less than any other ACC team. And what I can tell you, though, is that last year Georgia Tech was 3-9 overall, 2-6 in the ACC. So far, the defense this year has racked up 5 turnovers and 5 sacks in 2 games. They did pull off a win at Florida State 16-13, but they lost big time at home against UCF 49-21. And so when you look at the stats for this year so far, Jeff Sims, he's quarterback, 521 yards so far this season. Also, he's leading in rushing with 146. Their main quarterback, Jameis Griffin, is averaging 5.1 yards a carry on 17 attempts. So they've kind of transitioning their triple option into something a little bit more formidable for college football, not so predictable. It seems that they're still working on it, to say the least. But it's really hard to dig up anything right now with them. Just in general, it's almost as bad as UNC at the beginning of the year when no one had even played yet. But, I mean, they can score, and their defense isn't terrible. I mean, it was terrible last week, but they got some turnovers. I think they're in the plus column on the turnover end, so maybe plus one. I know that Jeff Sims has thrown 4 picks, so
yeah, that's 2 each game.
Yeah, that's one advantage to Syracuse right there. I think the secondary could very well disrupt his passing.
Yeah,
He's a versatile guy too. So I mean, he can run.
He's definitely versatile. I went back and I actually watched the condensed game last night against Florida State. They were down 10-0. There's a lot of sloppy play, really, but they got some fast guys out there. And Sims, he's a freshman. You know, he's a freshman quarterback out there trying to figure it out, and he can run, right? So, he's definitely going to be an issue. One thing to look at, I know that they had 6 players out, and 3 of them were starters, projected starters, and a couple started in the Florida State game. So they had some injuries with the Central Florida, but Central Florida is a pretty solid squad. Georgia Tech, it's going to be tough because I know the Central Florida that made their defense look bad, but Florida State, they didn't really have the easiest time moving the ball against them. So, again, I'm not going to sit here and even try to speculate what we're going to see on offense because we know what we've seen the last 2 weeks. And although that this defense isn't as good as the last 2 defenses that we've played, until I see it, then I really can't talk to that side with confidence.
Yeah. Well, like, let's just stop there for a second and go back to Coach's press conference earlier in the week. And what he said, basically, if you didn't listen to it, was that the offense looks like a huge problem to us, but it's a bunch of little things, and it's having to do with the quarterback, the receivers, and the line. It's a third of everybody's issue.
And we talked about that too.
Yeah, we did.
On Sunday when we said, you know, it's probably a bunch of everything.
Right.
It's probably the play calling, and the fact that the offensive coordinator still probably isn't comfortable with his personnel.
That's what I was just going to say. I was going to say he probably didn't want to call out his coach, but you can add in the play calling in the coaching on the offensive end, and you can split it up that way. Add a little bit of extra into there, and basically what you got is a bunch of little things to fix.
Yeah, we said that our receivers can't get open, or there's like miscommunications on the offensive line, not having the two starting running backs that we thought we were going to have. I mean, you scramble all that together on top of the fact of no spring practice and this whole coronavirus thing.
You're rebuilding. Essentially.
Yeah. I mean,
you lost your best receiver. I mean, so.
Yeah. And minus really, really, like really, really good teams and offenses, you're seeing it.
I would
be willing to guess that Pittsburgh and North Carolina, if we had them at the end of the year, they'd probably put up more points than what they did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, of course. And you know, we're watching the growing pains right now. Unfortunately, it's like I said in the last episode, I always believed that Syracuse was going to be behind the eight ball on this, and it seems that way. Not trying to toot my own horn or anything, go on, Joe. Go on. So with the offense, this is my philosophy on the offense going forward here, okay? As long as I see some kind of improvement, which I believe I did last week against Pitt, as long as I'm seeing something, a little bit more run game, a better run game, less sacks, we're not there yet, a little bit better offensive line play, you know, the little things start to get better. That's where my expectations are. I just want to see improvement every week.
The way that Dino said it in his presser is that, you know, we have a whole bunch of things, like things that we need to fix, and hopefully we fix one thing, so then we can turn around and we can just fix the next thing, and instead of trying to fix all everything at once. So you got to figure out what's the easiest thing to fix so that we can just get that out of the way and now on to the next one. And
cautiously optimistic on that end too, by the way.
Well, let's see what changes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Back to Georgia Tech. I'm sorry.
Right. So again, that's our offense type situation. As far as their offense against our defense, again, like I said, when I went back and watched it, they got the whole, you know, read option thing. You're going to see the quarterback who can run, who gets it in the shotgun, and he either hands it off or he doesn't, and then he keeps it, and sometimes he passes out of it. You know, there's the run pass option. And the first game against Florida State, when I watched the running back that you had mentioned earlier, and also Jordan Mason, there were two guys that I noticed, two running backs that were pretty solid. They were pretty solid, and they had receivers. No one really had an outstanding game. They kind of everybody did their part. But like, the one thing I did see with Sims as the quarterback is that he does – try to sometimes make too much out of a play. You know, he kind of extends the play. Most of his quarterbacks are I think the two interceptions I saw in Florida State was he was out of the pocket, kind of, you know, moving around, moving the pocket, and just kind of scrambling. And he was throwing it while he was moving and trying to make the deeper pass instead of maybe just rushing for a couple yards or maybe doing the check down. So. That's something that can be fixed, and I hope it's not fixed by this Saturday. Mm-hmm. But that's the one thing that I saw. He has thrown two interceptions each game. So, but also the one thing I saw as well, because Jordan Mason, the one running back, one of the two running backs that I saw against Florida State that was pretty good, he couldn't play against Central Florida, and instead Jahmyr Gibbs, who is a freshman running back, bursted onto the scene. Even though they lost 40-something to 21 against Central Florida, this Jahmyr Gibbs guy, he had 126 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. But he also, I mean, you add the return yards, and that all-purpose yards goes up to 219 all-purpose yards. And that was his collegiate debut, first game against Central Florida. So obviously this guy's a burner. He's a playmaker. And he just burst on the scene last week. So we don't know if the six players that in the three out of those six who were starters, if they are going to be ready for this week or not, including Jordan Mason, who's the running back. But I'd have to imagine that after the show that Jahmyr Gibbs put on in a losing effort last week as a freshman, that he's going to be out there. So yeah, they have playmakers at running back. Yeah. I think he had a receiving touchdown as a running back. So I think he was a leading receiver as a running back against Central Florida. So
if I'm Georgia Tech coming into the Dome to play Syracuse with no fans, which is dumb, what I would be doing is some of that read option stuff and that triple option stuff. I'd be bringing some of that back. Dink and Duncan. Yeah. I'm not giving Andre Sisco and Trill Williams a chance to pick me off. I'm not doing it. So
I mean, you say that, but this guy, he seems to be kind of a when the play gets extended and he's rolling out, he seems to
try to make bad decisions. Yeah. Okay. Well,
so I mean maybe it's just accuracy on the move either way. But again, Georgia Tech, they're just closer to seeing who their playmakers are, and they have playmakers. So, and this is going to be the first kind of, I mean, I think that North Carolina did it a little bit, but as far as the quarterbacks that we've seen, this is definitely the fastest and most versatile one that we have, that we're going to see, but it's also the most inexperienced. So there is the
It's dangerous the though sometimes too.
Yeah. So it's the opportunity of some mistakes. So it's going to be interesting. I just hope that our defense, I mean, again, then these running backs are good. So
are they at least pipe? Yeah. The running backs are decent. I mean, they actually, if you look at this, they have...
I think the quarterback's actually the leading rusher for the team.
Jeff Sims is the lead rusher, but they still have...
But I've seen three running backs that are legit.
There's three other ones that they use. Jameis Griffin. Oh, gosh. Gibbs and Jordan Mason. I don't know how to pronounce Gibbs' first name.
Jameer,
okay. And Jordan Mason. Those are their three running backs. So they have a solid legit core. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, realistically, I didn't see the Jameer Gibbs guy against Florida State, but I didn't see him against Central Florida because I didn't watch the game. But looking at his stats, guy's pretty good.
All right. So, well, we'll get into predictions. Anything else on Georgia Tech?
Actually, there is one. The one thing that I did pick up and notice, because they did move the ball a little bit better against Florida State, but in two games, they have a freshman kicker. He's got three field goal attempts and a PAT blocked.
Wow.
So there are some issues as far as their kicking team goes for that. So if our defense does stay true and we bend and don't break and allow them to just have to beat us with field goals,
it's possible for these linebackers to be a nightmare for Jeff Sims. I mean, just in general.
That's why I'm kind of like licking my chops, because in the past it's like, oh crap, you get this team that's got a pretty good line and they got these athletes and I don't know if we got the speed, you know? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you look at the linebackers this year and they're like, oh, like that's not Keelan Whitner and Andrew Armstrong anymore. Like these guys just fly around, and we have five D-backs on the field as well. So it's a lot of it for our success, obviously, is going to be taking advantage of any mistakes that they make, like all and any mistakes if they do. And obviously tackling in the open field, because these running backs and these quarterbacks, they're going to be, and they've been good, but
I've not had an issue with Syracuse's tackling yet this year.
It's no, pretty but between, you know, the I'm talking like the second level.
Yeah, I know.
Once they get through the second level and it's not a linebacker that's blitzing, it's a linebacker that might be standing on his 2 feet or, you know, the balls of his feet waiting to see what's going on, or like the defensive backs, like those are the guys that are going to have to make those open field tackles against those guys. And again, we haven't had problems, but this team kind of has a different problem that they pose. It's the way that they play. But I do have confidence that our defense is going to be able to keep us in the game.
Okay. Well, cautiously optimistic. That's the motto for the season. And up next, we are going to get in to the Bet Online picks of the week. We'll pick a game of the week for you to keep your eye on. And we will also do the predictions. ACC versus ACC only. This is presented to you by Bet Online, the premier sponsor for the Q's Militia. Now, obviously, I already mentioned this before, you might not be able to get to a game, but you can always go to Bet Online. They've got the virtual stuff. They've got all every NCAA game going on. Is the NBA still playing playoffs?
Yes, they are.
Why? Why is that still going? How long does this last? 3 months? This is insane. I wish the NCAA tournament lasted that long. I really do. I really do. But anyway, I digress. I digress. So, BetOnline, they're going the extra mile to make sure you can get involved on all the action imaginable this season, from game spread and totals to team player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online, and you can get in on their season opening bonuses today. Start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head over to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Easy for me to say. Okay, so, Joe.
Hey, by the way, I went 3-3 last week.
I'm going to need you to do better, okay? What?
That's breaking even.
It's breaking even, but we don't want to be, you know, irresponsible here with this, okay? So we're gonna have to come up with a disclaimer. Obviously, we don't want you solely.
I told everybody last week.
Okay, you did.
This doesn't mean to bet it.
That's true.
But if you happen to
go to BetOnline and use Joe's knowledge, we're gonna start with our game as we always do. Let's start with the Syracuse Georgia Tech game, or the Georgia Tech at Syracuse game. Given Syracuse 7.5 points right now, according to BetOnline.ag, Joe, it's tightening up. It's tightened up since last week. We did beat the spread last week. Lost the game, unfortunately, but we did beat the spread, so we got that going for us. You did pick that one as well as I. This one is a little tougher for me. I almost wish. I don't know, but I'm going to let you go first, as always, because you are the betting expert. You really are.
I'm not the betting expert, but...
You're the betting expert of this show.
Oh, well, if I'm going to be compared to you, then, okay, I get it. I'm going to take Syracuse, and reason being is that I'm going to go kind of... Okay, I lost last week when I picked Georgia Tech with the points because I didn't think that... I thought that Florida State was pretty good, and I'm like, okay, well, Florida State's supposed to be pretty decent this year, and
UCF, Georgia Tech, awesome.
Georgia Tech beat them, and UCF, yeah, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, they haven't played a game yet, Georgia Tech has, and then I kind of came back and bit me, and what I'm looking at is that maybe that those type of tier teams might not be as good as the tier teams that we've actually played against the first two games. So, I mean, obviously, the first two games – ranked teams and good defenses and experienced quarterbacks. So I'm going to kind of just go on the whim of like that Florida State and maybe some of these other teams just aren't as good as maybe we thought, and that Georgia Tech is a step down from the competition that we've been playing, and that, you know, maybe we see something a little bit different because I don't think that they have the same defense as the first two defenses. So I think it's the easiest defense. Well, you know, it's not they're not, you know, a slouch, but they're not as good as the first two defenses that we played. So with that and the confidence that we can score a little bit more points, let's put it this way. If we keep making the same progression that we have and we go up 4 points and we score 14 points, then I can see, you know, our defense stopping them, their kicker missing a couple kicks, and then we cover.
Just let them unravel, right? Just start to pull the string on the sweater and let them unravel. Well, look, I mean, I'm only going to comment on a couple of these, maybe. This is going to be one of them, obviously. I'll take Syracuse in this. Look, it's home. I don't feel like we get the Syracuse football gets the full advantage of being home. It's a new place. There's not going to be any fans there. I don't know if they're piping fan noise in or not. But
how many they have been? How many fans do cardboard cutouts count as?
None. Zero.
Oh.
Okay. So yeah. What's funny about I get sidetracked easy. But what's funny about the crowd noise is if you pay attention to it, they screw up when to cheer really loud and when to be quieter. So in other words, you see them cheering for the away team sometimes, which is weird. You ever notice that?
I try not to pay attention.
Well, I'm going to just be honest, and I'm just this guy. The piped-in crowd noise is awful. I think it's annoying. I know it's fake. It's just like canned laughter on sitcoms back then.
Someone probably tells me that the players know it's faked.
You think so? Joe? Okay, so yeah. I'm taking Syracuse here. Here's the big question, Joe. Syracuse at home, opening up the dome under the new roof on the new turf. 0-2, prime opportunity. They're not even they're disrespecting the Orange, the networks. They're not even playing this thing on TV, local television. I mean, it makes you want to puke a little bit. What do you think, man? They come in with a chip on their shoulder, they pull out the W or what?
God willing.
Well, yeah, God willing, anything can happen, Joe. But I'm talking about Syracuse, Georgia Tech. Is it going to be a W, bro?
I thought we were doing spreads here.
We always do both with this, and you know that. Don't play stupid. Don't try to kill the clock. So, all
right. Look, do not bet the money line on Syracuse in this. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Fair enough. There hasn't been enough evidence. Unless we get a special teams or defensive touchdown, I don't think we can win this game because there hasn't been enough evidence. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think that Georgia Tech's going to get enough to where I can – I mean, I think they're going to get – even if our defense plays lights out, they're going to get to 17 to 24 points.
Yeah, you got to be – you got the offense has got to be scoring points. We can't do this one touchdown on a random throw by the backup quarterbacks.
No, unless this defense just starts scoring and they say, hey, let's take it under our own hands.
Which you is know, possible.
I thought that last week, if we really wanted to push that issue on that like backwards pass, whatever, if Mikel Jones really wanted to, we could have scored on that.
True. Now, we did pick, at least I did, I picked every home game as a win in the beginning of the year. And I'm just looking at it now, NC State, second to last game of the season, Boston College. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, but by that time, we don't know what we're going to have. Again, I do understand that, like, even last year, we got better, right? You just got to figure it out.
Yep. Okay, Louisville at Pittsburgh, another ACC game. Given Louisville 2.5 points, this is not my game of the week. Is it yours, Joe? It's the closest spread, let's put it that way. But it's not – I got my eye on another game. But this is a good matchup.
No, it can't be. It can't be. Based on a rivalry, it can't be. But they're two ranked teams.
True.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good game. Yeah. Who do you got? You take the
I'm taking Louisville.
Taking Louisville. Okay.
I'm taking Louisville on that. I think Louisville is going to be kind of pissed off at their performance against Miami. That was one of the ones I got right last week with Miami taking the W because they – I chose them because they played a game. In Louisville, they fought hard all the way to the end, scored 34 points on them, but they also gave up 47. So they're going to have to shore up some of their defense and everything like that, but I just don't see Pittsburgh's offense being the same as Miami's. I don't know if you guys haven't seen Miami, and we'll talk about it later – De'Aaron King, that quarterback, is something else. And they got some tight – I mean, they're loaded. So they're a lot better than what I thought they were going to be. So I think that Louisville is going to take that, and they're going to go run with it. And I think they're going to beat Pitt pretty easily.
All right, Duke at Virginia, giving Duke 5.5 points. I have not gotten a glimpse of Virginia yet. I did watch Duke randomly. Well, I watched the Notre Dame game, which they held with
– Virginia hasn't played yet.
Okay, well, that explains why I haven't seen him play yet, because I haven't.
Most.
So, in fact, I totally had forgotten about him, which is...
Virginia and Virginia Tech were supposed to play last
week. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I'm gonna take Duke on that. I mean, Virginia hasn't seen action, live action. Duke's playing their third game. I mean, that's a huge advantage, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, Bronco Mendenhall's got that team playing pretty well, but he had a senior quarterback last year, so they're going to be going through a quarterback change again. Virginia Tech were supposed to play, I believe, last week, but it got canceled because of coronavirus. So again, yeah. I mean, I picked Duke last week, and Boston College hadn't played a game, and they came out and they beat up Duke pretty well. I don't think that Virginia is Boston College, like. I think that their quarterback kind of ran the show for them last year. So I think I'm going to agree with you. I think I'm going to take Duke here with obviously two games and being able to be that much closer to figuring who's who and who's supposed to be there in the roles versus a team who's changing a quarterback and hadn't played a game yet. Yeah, I'll take Duke.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's see. All right, well, Florida State at Miami. Here we go. Florida State getting 11.5 points. Good rivalry game. I don't know. Is this a game of the week for you, Joe? It's not mine.
See,
I got my eyes on another one.
So I'm going to throw it out there as the game of the week only because of the rivalry. And just weird things happen when Florida State and Miami play.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's tough. In-state rivalry. Florida State also had a bye week. God. It's, dude, I can't do it. Because I watched.
I mean, I think Miami's got that.
I
look at this and I'm like, Miami's got that.
I do. And the reason why it's so close is because of the rivalry. And I'm sure that Florida State's going to be game and everything. But seeing what I saw as far as the Georgia, I mean, Florida State had a 10-0 lead on Georgia Tech. And they let a freshman quarterback come back and beat them. And it could have been worse if their field goal kicker hit some stuff. But versus Miami, who has really done nothing but impress. They've gotten better every single week.
Yeah, they're just that team, man.
I just don't see that being – it might be close early, but I don't see it. I would take Miami. And that's a lot of points for this rivalry.
Yeah, it is. That's why I didn't pick it as my game of the week. And, you know, look, I'm no good at picking games of the week. I mean, but I'm going to try it this week. And it's NC State at Virginia Tech. Given NC State 6.5 points, Virginia Tech ranked 24th. NC State not on the AP top 25. But a team that's impressive, I think, to say the least. I watched a lot of that game last weekend, flipping back and forth from that and the race. And, I mean, they're just a team that's on the upswing. And I haven't seen anything from Virginia Tech yet this year. Have they played?
No. Nope.
No, they haven't. They haven't. So that's a huge advantage to NC State. Going in, the raking Virginia Tech, it's 24th, 3 weeks into the season, they haven't even played yet. That's a fallacy. I'm taking NC State. That's my game of the week, though. It'd be interesting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I do think that Virginia Tech does have a better defense. I don't think that NC State's going to be able to put up those points that they did against Wake Forest. But I will agree that I do think that NC State will cover that.
Okay, that's going to be a good game to watch. Both of those games, Miami, Florida State, and this. Yeah. I think Florida State might get their asses kicked badly.
They could.
Yeah, so we'll see. But the one we're talking about. Go ahead.
Notre Dame-Wake Forest matchup got canceled.
Yeah, true that. We did talk about that before we went on air. Yeah. Rona. The Rona.
What about BC?
Boston College? Did I skip over Boston College? Help me out here. Dead air.
I mean, we didn't talk about them.
I think Boston College is playing out of conference this week. I'm looking.
They are playing out of conference. They're playing against Texas State.
Yeah. We only do ACC.
Okay. So ACC versus ACC.
Yeah, I don't do the out of conference stuff.
I thought we were going to do all ACC except for if Notre Dame was playing a non-conference game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now that applies to everybody.
No non-conference. That's boring. Unless you're right, because we did do the Georgia Tech UCF game last week.
Yep.
How bad does that suck for Georgia Tech having to play their out of conference game and having to be UCF and getting your asses handed to you? That sucks.
No.
That sucks.
Hey.
It does.
Well, it could be. I mean, dude, I'm not gonna laugh.
I'm not
because if our offense doesn't get it together, I'm gonna be sweating bullets come that Liberty game.
You ain't lying. You ain't lying. All the trash the Syracuse fans been talking about Liberty. Boy, look, they gave us a run last year to some extent. Like, remember, that was our first game of the season last year. Hugh Freeze with the thumbs up, backlit from the damn the damn press box or whatever the hell he was in. It was absolutely ridiculous. And they held their own for a little bit. So we'll see what happens. But
Liberty won their first game against Western Kentucky, 30-24.
Yeah. So, you know what? Well, we'll deal with them one at a time. Let's get this Georgia Tech game over. Opening up the Dome this weekend at noon, ACC Network Extra. I want to thank betonline.ag, manscaped.com. I want to thank all of you for listening. Thank you for the support. We really appreciate you guys. You have no idea like how it's been going off. And while Syracuse is struggling, for all of you to be hitting us up on DM or on email and on Twitter and Facebook and everything, it just is awesome. I enjoy it so much. I may not get back to you right away, but I do really appreciate it. And
hey, man, we're going to all get through this together.
Yes, that's right. You want to come here for your therapy, at least, you know. So we will be back here as planned, hopefully on Sunday. Thanks to James on guitar. Appreciate all of you. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace. Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.